to Gubin. Hello, my friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to come to you today to share the wonderful Word of the Living God. We're talking about treasure, and we're discussing and considering the most wonderful treasure that is available to mankind, and that is the Word of the Living God and the Lord God Himself, revealed to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a Bible or a New Testament, I invite you to turn to Psalm 19, and we're going to consider a little more about the wonderful truths of the Word of the Living God. Here in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, we read again, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Now, last time we spent some time, or a few broadcasts ago, talking about the law of the Lord, and we went into it a little more in depth. And he says the basis of the law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, that it's perfect. That is, what it does, it opens the eyes of an individual to their sin. It helps us to see that we are imperfect, that we are sinners. And thus the Scripture says here, it converts the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now what it does, beloved, is that it's what the Holy Spirit of God uses to open our eyes to the truth, to help us to see that we cannot keep the law of God through our own effort, through our own endeavor, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, beloved, the law of the Lord opens our eyes to the realization that we are sinners and that we need forgiveness for sin. And God makes it clear and plain in His Word that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever would put their faith and trust in Him, believing that Christ died for our sin, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. This is the gospel, beloved, given there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the fact is, all have sinned and come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness. That's why we need a Savior. I couldn't die for you because I'm a sinner. I have sinned. You couldn't die for me because you have sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago to walk upon this earth in human form, to live a life without sin, and to take our place under the judgment and wrath of Almighty God, dying on that old rugged cross for you and for me. The sins of the world were placed upon Him as He hung upon that old cross, and that's why He cried out, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" God had to turn His back on His only Son, because God is holy and without sin, but Jesus Christ was covered with our sin. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, beloved, it's through Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are made pure and clean and holy within our spirit. Because when an individual recognizes they're a sinner and understands that Christ is the only way of salvation, then the Holy Spirit convicts that individual of sin. That strange, uneasy feeling that one has is the Spirit of God working in one's heart, one's spirit, to open their eyes to truth, to help them to see they're a sinner, that they need salvation, that they need forgiveness of sin. And beloved, thus when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our life to forgive us for our sin, we believe He died for us, was buried, and arose from the grave, and we receive Him as our Savior. God sends His Spirit into our spirit to do the work of salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 6 states, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Yes, beloved, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God moving into our spirit that changes and transforms and makes a new creation out of us. We're told that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And beloved, that's the truth. When the Lord Jesus comes into our life through the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit, we become a new creation, a new individual. Our soul is converted. That is, we're made pure and clean within our spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood being applied to our life through the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then He tells us also here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now God's Word is filled with testimonies of individuals who walked in obedience to the Lord, how God directed their steps, how God led them along life's pathway, how God delivered them from the forces of evil and the powers of darkness, and how God was their shield and defender. Yes, beloved, it didn't mean there wouldn't be trials. It didn't mean there won't be problems. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties when you accept Christ as Savior. We live in a fallen world. Sin is prevalent all about us, beloved. And the enemy of Satan is a very real enemy that is at work about us. And in our future broadcast, we're going to spend a little time learning a little more about this enemy of mankind. But we see that the testimony of the Lord shows how God can reveal and liberate and deliver one from Satan and his evil work and his evil power. So the testimony of the Lord is sure. That is, you can depend on what God says. And thus it makes wise the simple. Who are the simple? Those who do not really know the truth and do not understand the truth. Those who are wondering why certain things happen in the life of an individual that knows Jesus as Savior. And what is it about that person that's so different? Beloved, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God that changes us and makes new people out of us so that our life reflects Jesus Christ. So the testimony, God's testimony, recorded in God's Word is sure, making wise the simple. And then He says the statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the Lord. That is, individual words of instruction and counsel concerning, for instance, our thoughts, that we're to think upon whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, we're told in the book of Philippians. And so, beloved, the Word of God gives clear-cut guidance and direction regarding the life of the individual. And it rejoices our heart when we walk in obedience, when we do that which is right, when we resist temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of deliverance, that you may be able to endure it, or go through that trial, or that test, or that temptation. Yes, beloved, how wonderful when a person is tempted through the power of the Holy Spirit, they say no to that temptation. They turn away from it. They resist it. They will not yield to it. It rejoices the heart. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I did not yield to that temptation. Thank you that I did not let my mind go to those impure thoughts. Thank you that I did not do that which the old enemy was enticing me to do, that I did not walk and stumble in my Christian walk. And so the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And then he tells us here, the commandment, this is the second part of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Yes, beloved, God's commandments help us to know what's right and what's wrong. It gives clear-cut guidance, clear direction, clear instruction, so that we know what is the way the Lord would have us to walk, and the way that we are to live to bring glory, honor, and praise to His name. Then he says, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. What does he mean by the fear of the Lord? Well, he's talking about a reverential trust and respect for Almighty God. Reverence Him, reverencing Him, acknowledging that He is Almighty God, respecting His name, not dishonoring Him by using His name as a curse word or as a word of exclamation, but reverence Him, reverencing Him, and obeying Him,